So last Monday at about 9 a.m., I was parked at the end of the road right before the path that leads to Kaena Point, and this Apache prayer perfectly described my feelings. Looking behind, I am filled with gratitude. Looking forward, I am filled with vision. Looking upwards, I am filled with strength. Looking within, I discover peace. At 5:30 in the morning, I had been parked in the exact same place, been standing outside of my car. And when I got out of the car at 5:30 in the morning, and I looked down and I realized I was the only person in that parking lot, as far away as one can be from anywhere else, and it was pitch dark, I wasn't 100% committed to the moment. Not certain exactly what I was doing there, and then I looked up. I've spent many years out there on that North Shore shoreline, spent many an evening looking up to those stars you would think I would remember. But I always have to be reminded, but it doesn't take much to look up and see that sky that is so lit up by stars everywhere, a sky that is so beautiful, and then to hear at 5:30 in the morning the relentless energy of the ocean that is pounding away on that shoreline, coming and coming and coming, breathing new life with every wave that crashes. The path before me was straight. I knew where I was going. I was headed out to Kaena Point. I was headed out west, headed there and with the sun going to rise behind me. And I looked to the west, and there was the constellation Orion directly above Kaena Point. And I knew all I needed to do in the darkness was to follow Orion. And as I followed Orion, I would get to where my destination was calling to me. And so it is that I started to walk, following after Orion into that dark night sky. And as I walked and found my way, about the time that I passed through the gates of the National Area Reserve there, where an area of Kaena Point has been gated and fenced off so that it could be restored, at about that time, dawn came into its fullness, and the darkness gave way to purples and blues, which gave way to reds and oranges and pinks. I stepped through those gates, and I stepped into a place that has always been magical for me. And there, as I walked a couple of hundred yards, I saw a little white head pop up. And I went, oh my gosh, the moly, the albatross have come back. Just 2 weeks before, I had been walking there with the youth from the UCC Eco Justice Camp. There were no albatross 2 weeks before. They had come back, and some of them were beginning to do their little mating dances. Some of them apparently had already done their little mating dance because they were sitting on their nests already, and there were all of these little heads popping up all over, and then all prancing around were these kolea who have been coming out here in our courtyard on the beaches of Kailua all over, having made their 4,000-mile flight non-stop from Alaska so that they could be with us. I felt there the interplay of the ocean currents wrapping around that point, this amazing confluence of both order and disorder. It was a glorious moment. And then as I began my walk back out, there I found two nene goose on the island of Oahu, not Kauai, not Molokai, not Maui, not Hawaii Island, here on Oahu, two nene goose sitting there waiting for me to walk by. By the time I got to my car at 9 in the morning, I was literally skipping. It was a glorious, it was a moment of connectedness. My heart was full, my spirit was soaring. And I can tell you in a very similar way when I hear the words of Isaiah that were read today. When I hear those words of Isaiah that were read today, of a vision of a time in which nations shall stream to God's holy mountain of Zion, and there they shall learn the ways of peace together, that nations shall study war no more, they shall not lift their swords against one another, they shall take those very swords and they shall beat them into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. And I hear that vision and I find my spirit soaring. And we are not done with Isaiah. We will hear Isaiah next week. Isaiah next week will tell us about this child of God in which the Spirit of God shall rest upon those shoulders, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel and might and knowledge. And the following week we will come to Isaiah 35, where we will hear about that child and the world that God is promising to us, a world in which the desert shall no longer be dry, when the blind shall see, the lame shall leap together, the mountain of Zion all shall come singing songs of joy. I hear these words of Isaiah. I hear the words of Isaiah that we will sing on Christmas Eve, that those who walk in darkness shall walk in the light. A child shall be born to us, a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And I hear those words, and I know that these are the very words, like a walk out to cut in a point, that have shaped my faith in so very many powerful ways. For the God I believe in comes from these words. It is a God of restoration. That which is broken can and will be made whole. It is a God that I believe in of transformation, that the very deepest shadows of both our interior and exterior landscapes shall always give way to a dawn that is always waiting to be broken. It is a God of promise. When I was a child growing up and attending Central Union Church, the Reverend Bob Midgley used to always say, whenever a child was born, he would say, is a sign that God has not given up on the world yet. Well, in this season in particular, when we think about that child born in the manger, when we think about the fullness of God that is pleased to dwell in that child who comes to us not in princely form but in pauper's rags, I know indeed that God has not given up on the world. When I hear these words, when I take those walks, it is where my heart speaks to that great heart of God, where my spirit speaks to the Spirit of God, that part of me that, as Fred Rogers says, that deep part of you that allows you to stand for those things without which humankind cannot survive. Love that conquers hate, peace that rises triumphant over war, and justice that proves more powerful than greed. My heart sings in these words and in these moments. But, the truth of the world that we live in is that sometimes it can make those moments so very fleeting. At 9 o'clock, I stood next to my car there at Cut-in-a Point. At 9:05, I got into my car. Just a few minutes later, I drove by the place, Dillingham Airfield, where just a year ago, 11 people died in a skydiving accident right there at Dillingham Airfield. And I can't drive by there ever without thinking of the tragedy and the hurt of those 11 people and their families and others that I have known that have died in tragic accidents and have gone through great pain. And then a little bit beyond that, I drive past that place that I love so much, Camp Mokulei'ia. And yet my heart feels torn as I go by there, because I go by the house where Kirsten and I was living when the ocean seemed to want to take it and put it into the ocean, and we had to evacuate ourselves. I go by the farm that I so desperately wanted to start there on the Mauka side of the road and had to shut it down because we didn't have the capacity. And the sense of failing that I have every time I go by there, I drive by the places where I see the places where the staff that I had out there, where I struggled to try and make us an ohana, a team that worked together that seemed to always want to pull apart. And there is pain. And I go a little bit further and up the windy hill and up to stop. And I say, well, it's Monday, just before Thanksgiving. I've got a couple of things at 10 in the morning I should pick up at Costco. So I stop at Costco at 10 in the morning on a Monday. You would think it wouldn't take 15 minutes to find a parking place. But indeed, there are lots of folks who have the same idea. You wouldn't think it would take another 15 minutes just to get gas in the place where I can get it cheaper. In short, I went from this soaring point there at Ka'ina, where my spirit was soaring, where my heart was connected to the day-to-day world, which more often than not seems to be dominated not by the glories of the Spirit, but by the obligations and the mundanes of the day-to-day, the struggles of conflict and personal needs. And I must say that after my glorious walk, I was fighting for equilibrium, to not get sucked into a vortex that seemed destined to try and negate all that beauty of the walk that I had just had. And you think about it today, when we walk out of here today, having heard those soaring words of Isaiah, having sung with the choir and donned so many different wonderful songs, sharing from the wonders of our table that are here, we will walk into a reality where there is a vortex that is waiting for us day by day, a vortex of obligations and mundanes that is going to try and take us away from the glory that we may feel as we are in this community together. We may have those obligations and mundanes preying on our minds and our spirits right now, even as we are gathered. And we will walk out, and we will eventually turn on our radios or turn on our TVs, and we will find news that will disturb us, and we will be listening to other things. After all, it's the end of the fourth quarter. It's the end of the financial year. Some of us will be listening to how well things have done. Where is the stock market? Where is the Dow Jones? Where are things? Because some of us may have investments. Some of us may have pensions. Some of us may be worried about that which is the endowment of the very church that we sit in. And for just a moment, when we think about those numbers, we won't think about the ethical practices that may have risen those numbers up and down. We will merely think about, did those numbers, do they make us feel a little bit more secure right now? Or do they make us feel like things are just a little bit more scarce right now than they were just before we heard those numbers? We'll walk out, we'll turn on our radios, we'll listen to Christmas carols, we'll listen to ads, and we will know indeed that this is a season where we are supposed to be finding perfection wherever we go, to get the perfect gift, to make sure that we throw the perfect party, that our house is decorated in the most perfect of ways. We will know how many days it is till Christmas so that you can shop and shop and shop and spend some more money. Because after all, we know that the message of the season is not about the content of our heart, but the contents of our hearth. These are difficult messages that will pound upon us day in and day out. They will not be messages that speak about the abundance that we all share, the abundance of beauty that we have, the abundance of connectedness, the abundance of our relationship, the abundance of our ability to share. Those are not the messages that will pound us as we walk out of here. There are very different messages, and it can be very difficult. And I wonder if Paul was in fact anticipating this time of moment when he wrote to the letter to the Romans and he said, but make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations so you lose track of the time and doze off oblivious to the presence of God. Did Paul have a sense of just how easy it is to get distracted from that which our heart is calling to turn our hearts and our minds from the soaring heights of a vision of a way of life that is centered on justice, empowered by love, a hand-in-hand journey with God, when he instead says, we cannot afford at this moment to waste a minute. We must not squander those precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around, and dissipation, and bickering, and grabbing everything in sight. Did Paul anticipate the wisdom of those who would follow, that would create a liturgical calendar, that would recognize that at this moment, in this season, when the ways of the world, that vortex is calling to us to a totally different way, a way of profit, a way of possessions, a way of position, that we would indeed make sure that we are listening to other words and dominated in our time together, with a vision of peace that will pass all understanding, and hope that will help us to soar like eagles, and joy that even the mountains and the oceans cannot contain, love that is forever and unconditional. Paul says, be up and awake to what God is doing. For God is indeed putting on us right now the finishing touches on the salvation work begun when we first believed. So if Paul understood all this, he then tells us what to do. He says, don't get sucked in. Get up and get at it. Dress yourselves in the way of Christ. And so we enter into this season of Advent. It is a time for many people of contemplation. It is a time for many people of preparation. But it should also be a time in which we think about how do we define our being by what we are doing. We may have those soaring visions of Isaiah, of nations that come together, of time when we turn our swords into plowshares, turn our spears into pruning hooks. The truth of the matter is we need that work to be happening in a community way, in a state way, in a national way, in a world way, but we need it to be happening in a personal way. If we are going to indeed be the ones that will usher in that time of peace when nations shall come together, that ushering in will happen when we ourselves have become those people of peace. Shane Claiborne, who's an evangelist who does some really wild and wonderful things, and one of the things he does is he has BYOG Sundays. Bring your own guns to church Sunday. And what he does is he goes and travels to a church and brings a forge and puts that forge right in the middle of the church. And then he invites people to bring their guns and to throw their guns into that forge. And he says it takes about 10 seconds for that gun to be melted down and then to be poured into a form that will make a plowshare, literally creating the truth of this scripture. But the truth of the matter is that if we were to take all those guns and pour them into those forges, there would still be bombs that we might have to pour into forges. And if we took all the guns and all the bombs and all the chemical weapons, there still might be sticks and stones that we will use to hurt one another, unless indeed we allow our hearts to be transformed by peace. Unless we indeed allow who we are to be changed by that which we do. So I ask you, in this amazing season that we enter into, I ask you to think about what are those small little things that we can do that will bring for peace. Because the truth of the matter is that vortex that wants to consume us with all the negative messages of our world has absolutely no power other than that which we give it. And if we pay attention to how we shall be, then we take away its power completely. And if enough people do that, then indeed the nations shall be streaming to the mountains to make for peace. So think for a moment. Is there someone in your life that you need to forgive? Think for a moment. Is there someone you need to forgive? And if so, think about, can you do that forgiving? For in that process, you shall bring forth your own change and make for peace. Think just the other side. Is there someone out there that is wishing to forgive you? And are you one of those persons that knows that? And you hold on to the fact that you refuse to be forgiven because it gives you power over that other person. Perhaps now is the season to allow yourself to indeed be forgiven. Think about, who do you need to pray for in this world? And when I say, who do you need to pray for? There are many in this world, in this time of divisive politics, that desperately need us to be praying for them. And praying for them not because they might change and be more like ourselves, but praying for them because God has called them into being as well. That they, like yourself, are a creation of God's, with love breathed into them from the very moment they take their very first breath. And they, like you, are struggling to figure out how to make it in this world and how to make it with all the messages that the world gives. Pray. Remember, Jesus says, pray for your enemies. Jesus does not say, pray for your enemies that they may become like you. Jesus simply says, pray for your enemies. Pray for those that you disagree with. Do you have an abundance to share? Whether it be wisdom, energy, money, share it. Share it. Think into this moment. In this moment, where is the abundance that I am being called to give? For we are all blessed with an abundance. Not all are blessed with an abundance in our pocketbooks, but we are all blessed with an abundance of our hearts, of our emotions, of our wisdom. And the world waits for us to share it. And if it's not enough to forgive, and if it's not enough to pray for others, and if it's not enough to share our abundance, or whatever are the acts of peace that we can do for this world, if the noise of the world is too loud at this moment, Then dress yourself in Christ. Let it be like noise-canceling headphones. Noise-canceling headphones, because I tell you, there are holy words to be read. Read them. There is holy silence to be observed. Take it. There is a holy heart reaching out to your heart. Open it. Use this as a moment. We are entering into a time in which the world wants to tell us one thing and God is calling us to something other. And we merely get to choose, how will we be like that which we believe we are? How will we be like that which we believe in? We have been called to be people of peace. We have been called to make peace in this world. Let us open ourselves to the individual acts of peace that will indeed make for this world. For none of us are perfect. None of us are doing it all just right. None of us can live without intentionality. Now is a time for intentionality. I think about the disciples when they gathered around this table with Jesus. There is a collection of folks who were not perfect. I think about, did Jesus seem like a mirror that they looked at and said, oh my gosh, look at me, this is not a pretty sight. I don't think so. Because what they saw in him was the light of God that shined upon them, so that indeed that which was within themselves they saw as well. And they too could stand up. They too could stand up and live into this world as people of peace and wonder and hope and joy. They would fall, they would fail, but that light of God, that presence of God, kept coming to them and kept giving them a different way of being, calling them to turn the world upside down, not necessarily by their political action, but simply by who they were as individuals and as a collection of believers. And so we come to this table. And we gather around the table and we remember that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. There is the way of life, the way of peace that we have been called to, a way of giving of ourselves what indeed we would rather just take and save for ourselves, to give of ourselves that others might have life. In the same way, he took a cup and he poured into that cup and he took the wine and he said, this is the cup of salvation, my blood that has been shed for you. Do this as well in remembrance of me. And so it is that we gather around this table and we share together the cup and we share together the bread. And we know that in that sharing, ultimately, we are mimicking that which God has called us to do, to share. To share from the abundance of which God has given to us. To share our wisdom, to share our talents, to share with one another. We are given the chance to be a people who give ourselves, to share ourselves, that others might have life. So I invite you all to come to the table. I must say, I just noticed in the bulletin, it's probably been there for like the last 8 months, and I never noticed it, that we now say, come up and get your rice crackers. You don't need to get your rice crackers if you're gluten-free, because the bread we have is indeed gluten-free. Sharon MacArthur is going to come and join us. We ask folks to come into the aisle and come and receive the bread and receive the cup as we take this moment around this table to share with one another.